Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. At noon today, Governor Patterson is set to introduce his pick to replace Hillary Clinton in the Senate. Upstate Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand, who lives in Hudson, south of Albany, and represents a sprawling, largely rural district, a conservative district by New York standards. We will carry that announcement live when Governor Patterson and Kirsten Gillibrand appear, scheduled for noon today. We do want to issue a correction to something that's been reported about Congresswoman Gillibrand on WNYC earlier today. It was reported that she is anti-abortion rights. That is not true. We have gotten information to correct that earlier report. For example, Emily's List was pleased with her election in 2006 when she first got elected to the House. We are confirming that she is not anti-abortion rights. She is pro-abortion rights, and apologize for a mistake during Morning Edition today. Gillibrand only did join the House in 2007 after defeating a longtime Republican congressman in her district. She's getting a rap as a social conservative by some critics and potential opponents in a primary for next year. She's already generating talk of that, largely on the basis of her support for gun rights, which is something that's very popular in her district. She has a 100% NRA voting record. But let's try to make sense of all this. Here are Wayne Barrett, Village Voice columnist, and Irene J. Liu from the Albany Times Union. Wayne, Irene, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, how you doing, Brian?
Good morning, Brian.
And Irene, let's start at the beginning here. Once Caroline Kennedy was out of the running, why Kirsten Gillibrand? Why not some of the other more established members of the New York House delegation, many of whom had expressed interest?
Kirsten Gillibrand represents a number of demographics that Governor David Patterson has expressed that he would like to see represented on the ticket. She's from upstate. Her family is from upstate. She's a woman. And she, though she has a very has had a very short career in Congress, she's considered very well liked. She's a very, very, very strong fundraiser. She raised over $4.5 million just in this last election in for her congressional race. And so, for many reasons politically, she would sort of be a choice that would be, I think, she brings a lot to the table for Governor David Patterson. There, of course, is a lot of pushback in terms of the Democratic community because she's from a very heavily Republican district and has quite conservative views on some things. She's a member of the Blue Dog Democrats, and so as you're seeing now trickle out, there's been a bit of pushback on this decision from some areas, the more left-wing areas of the Democratic Party.
So, Wayne Barrett, I know you wrote about this already on the Village Voice website. Run this down for us. She is, we got a statement today from, via the Daily News, from the Empire State Pride Agenda, saying she would be the first pro-gay marriage senator from New York. Hillary Clinton was not pro-gay marriage. Chuck Schumer is not pro-gay marriage. Kirsten Gillibrand apparently is pro-choice. How conservative is she?
Well, her own description, which I quoted in my blog item yesterday, but it comes from an upstate paper that, by her own description, she says, I have one of the most conservative voting records in the state. That's her describing herself. It's not really a question of a left-wing critique of Gillibrand. I think it's a centrist critique of Gillibrand. I mean, I don't think she's a centrist. To me, it's a centrist position now to be against the war. She voted with Bush she was one of the very few Democrats that voted with Bush in 2007 on the funding bill. And, on a host of questions, look, on gay marriage, she's apparently changed her position overnight here. This happened sometime around 3 o'clock in the morning. She had an epiphany, apparently, because the current issue of a gay magazine has her quoted as saying she's opposed to gay marriage, but she supports civil unions. And she goes into a whole argument from her Catholic upbringing about why this isn't so important that it can't be a marriage question. Her uncle is closely identified with the Diocese of Albany. He sits on the panel. He's a lawyer. that sits on a panel appointed by the bishop to handle pedophile cases. She has a, I mean, her Catholic upbringing, her Catholic identification is one of the reasons why she prevailed in that very Republican district.
Can you tell me what gay magazine that is, by the way?
You know, I read it this morning in Liz Benjamin's blog, but I can't tell you what the name of the magazine is.
Right,
it's cited in Liz Benjamin's blog.
It's Inside Out.
That's the magazine.
Right, and
that's
it's
right.
And it's this month, the January-February edition.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the one position that she has immediately changed. It's not surprising that the governor apparently pushed her a bit on that issue. She can't change on a whole other host of matters. I mean, is it left or right to vote against the financial bailout of the city of New York, essentially? I mean, if the financial bailout bill wasn't a bill that disproportionately benefited the city of New York, and consequently the state of New York.
You're talking about the TARP?
Yes, and she voted against both versions. And she's the only New York congressperson to do so. That's not a left-right question. I mean, there were some leftists who opposed it. There were some people on the far right who opposed it. But certainly, if you're going to try to represent the people of the state of New York, even the people of her district benefited from the financial bailout because the financial Wall Street revenue is what keeps this state afloat.
That TARP bill is pretty unpopular.
Well, there are certainly elements of it, but if you want to represent the state of New York and you're voting against both versions of the financial bailout package, it was never popular. It wasn't popular when it passed. But from the standpoint of the economy of the country and of this state and city in particular, it was certainly vital that something happened at that time. You remember what was going on, Brian.
All right.
So certainly
now,
it can be critiqued. Now, if she wants to run in the state of New York as somebody opposed to the financial bailout bills, I don't think that's a winning strategy.
I see that Congressman Anthony Weiner from Brooklyn is calling in to defend Congresswoman Gillibrand. Congressman Weiner, thank you for calling.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. Thank you.
So, you heard Wayne Barrett there.
Well, look, you know, I got to tell you something. First of all, I think this is a great choice from a long list of really very, very good and some even great candidates. And I've spoken to Kirsten Gillibrand. I think she's whip smart. She is aggressive. She's got the New York ethos. She represents an upstate district, but she gets downstate. You know, she does a lot of her fundraising, frankly, is down in New York. She understands the rhythm. And, you know, I have this notion that, look, there are going to be issues on that there might be some differences on. I can tell you on a couple that have come up already. I asked her, and she said point blank to me she supports gay marriage. And I got to tell you, there's a heck of a lot that we agree on regulations of handguns and making them safer and everything else. So I think that people need to take a little bit of a deep breath, get to know her a little bit, and I think she's going to be a terrific senator. I don't think she's going to have a primary, and I think she's going to serve there for a long time.
What about voting for the funding for the war in 2007, one of the few Democrats to do that, according to Wayne? What about this vote against the TARP, which is very much not in New York's interest, as Wayne was describing it, the only member of the delegation from New York to vote against that, seen as practically a New York bailout bill?
Well, I got to tell you something. You know, the TARP bill, it's hard to tell whose vote was right. I voted on the other side of that, but it's hard to tell who was right and who was wrong there. It's been an unmitigated disaster, and I think to some degree it's an open book on whether the TARP vote was right or wrong. You know, what's important to realize is one of the things that we need in a senator is someone who has the ability to represent the whole state. I think that those of us downstate, those of us in New York City, what we want is someone who understands and gets our issues, not that we necessarily agree with them on everything. And I got to tell you something. Now that the TARP has become law, now that we've seen that the accountability wasn't what it should be, now that we've seen that many people in New York who thought they were getting protection, who found out that they didn't, I'm not sure she didn't have that vote right and I had it wrong.
All right. Congressman Anthony Weiner, thanks a lot for calling in to defend Kirsten Gillibrand. Now, Congresswoman Gillibrand was one of those who refused to come on the show to promote her candidacy in the last few weeks. Many other hopefuls did. But we did interview her when she was first elected in 2006. She told us at that time that she was joining the conservative Blue Dog Democrat caucus, not many New Yorkers in that caucus in the House, and she talked in that context about her fiscal discipline, her belief in fiscal discipline, even at that time.
Well, I think the Democratic caucus is very much in agreement that we need much more fiscal discipline. And I think the Democrats in this caucus are very determined to put pay-as-you-go into law. And it's something that Speaker Pelosi is going to put on the first 100 hours agenda. Many of the Blue Dogs have also proposed legislation for other fiscal discipline measures that I think we will get agreement with the Democratic caucus. I think this caucus is a lot more fiscally conservative than perhaps traditionally. One thing we hope to do is to make sure that every line item, any kind of special line item, has the name of the legislator attributed to it. And so that if someone is proposing something that is a non-priority project, then everybody will know, and voters can vote those people out for their lack of judgment and their lack of discretion in how they use taxpayer funds.
So Kirsten Gillibrand on this program in December 2006, just after being elected, no one's really a fiscal conservative anymore in these circumstances. But Irene too, from the Irene Liu from the Albany Times-Union, you wanted to respond to Congressman Wiener?
I wanted to just make a comment. I mean, let's not forget that when she has been, you know, her record for the past 2 years has been representing a heavily Republican congressional district. There are over almost 200,000 Republicans compared with 125,000 Democrats in her district. And so I think that, you know, it is not surprising in the same way that, you know, when people are running in primaries, they tack a little more to either the right or left in their respective parties and then come into the middle for the general election. In the same way, she's now going to be, as the senator representing the entire state, she did not represent the state. She represented a conservative district. The test will be in the coming months and years, in the next 2 years, is whether or not she then represents the interest of the full state.
Really,
and I think that we should not forget that New York City is of course a very important, crucial city in New York, but also the entire state. And there has been a concern about representation for upstate in state leadership, in representation in Congress, and elsewhere.
And of course, her first big test will be if she is challenged by another Democrat in the primary for that seat, which would be in September of next year. We're going to have later in the program Scott Stringer, the Manhattan Borough president, who has already come out as someone who's considering challenging Kirsten Gillibrand in a U.S. Senate primary. Irene, I want to follow up on something you said before, which is how she's known as a prodigious fundraiser. Where did a freshman congresswoman running in a rural district get so much money?
She, before her career in Congress, she was a member, a lawyer in a very prominent law firm, and so she has received... She received a big boost from people who have been affiliated with that law firm. She has also received money from sort of all along the spectrum, including Altria, which is a, you know, Philip Morris, and then also support from Emily's List and other places. And in her response, she is, you know, we asked this question during the congressional debate this time around in November about where she gets her money from, and she, her response was, I live in a district where I have had to compete and raise money. She was running against Sandy Treadwell, who is a very wealthy candidate, who was a very wealthy candidate who self-funded and put in millions of dollars of his own money into the race. And her response was, yes, I take money, but that money doesn't necessarily, you know, translate into votes. Look at my record. And that's how she's defended where she's gotten her money from. But she gets it from all along the spectrum, from lots of different places. So,
Wayne Barrett, what happens to Congresswoman Gillibrand's House seat? Does Governor Patterson appoint that replacement too?
Well, no, I don't think the governor does. I mean, usually what happens is you have a county committee selection of a Democrat to run in the seat in a special election, I think. I don't think there would be time for a primary. I think you'd have a county committee selection and a county committee selection on the Republican side and a special election pretty quickly. I think that's the way it would go.
Uh-huh.
I want to say a couple of words about, I mean, I listened to the tape that you presented of her as a fiscal conservative.
Uh-huh.
She supported the renewal of the Bush tax cuts. Is there anything more fiscally irresponsible than that? Now, she at various points changed her position. At some points it sounded like she supported the renewal without change, but in the end she said, for people earning up to $1 million, she wanted to extend the tax cuts. Now, that's just fiscally irresponsible. And I think in terms of answering where she's been raising her money from, look, a lot of liberal Democrats from New York City supported her to take a Republican majority district with an 80,000 Republican plurality. But when you look at that person and say, should this person represent the state of New York and be the Democrat representing the state of New York, that's an entirely different question.
Right.
I would think it'd be a great idea to elect her to that House seat for the Democrats. But to elect her statewide, let's assume, Brian, that she actually believes in the positions that she has taken as a candidate and as a congresswoman. Now, apparently she can shed the gay marriage position overnight. But let's presume she actually believes in some of the positions that she has taken as a candidate and as a congresswoman. She's going to reverse on all of them?
And that's where we have to leave it with Wayne Barrett, Village Voice columnist, Irene J. Liu from the Albany Times Union. Thank you both very much. As
thank
I
you,
mentioned, we will continue to cover this story next hour. We'll talk to, among others, Scott Stringer, the Manhattan Borough President, who is already considering a primary challenge against Gillibrand next year. We will have live coverage of Governor Patterson introducing Gillibrand at noon. And in case you're interested, I'll be on the New York One Reporters Roundtable talking about this with other journalists tonight around 7:30 and 10:30 on New York One. Coming up in a minute right here, you may think I'm kidding, but we'll talk about why you like that the sky is blue. Stay tuned.